Record 35. In a hoop. Carrot. Murder. I didn't sleep all night. All night long I thought about one thing. After what happened yesterday, my head's been in tight bandages. Or rather, no, it isn't in a bandage, but more like a hoop. A merciless hoop made of glass steel and riveted to my head. And I myself am in just such a forged hoop. Kill you. To kill you. And then go to her, I-330, and say, now do you believe me? But the most revolting thing is that killing is somehow dirty and archaic. To take something and smash someone's skull in, this gives me a sensation of something disgustingly sweet in my mouth, and I can't swallow my own spit. I'm forever spitting in my handkerchief. My mouth's dry. In my locker lay a heavy piston rod that had broken after casting. I needed to examine the structure of the fracture under a microscope. I rolled my notes up into a cylinder, let her read all of me, right down to the last letter, shoved the broken end of the piston rod inside and headed below. The stairway seemed endless, the steps disgustingly slippery somehow and watery, and I had to keep wiping the sweat away with a handkerchief. Below, heart pounding, I stopped, took out the rod, went to the control desk. But you wasn't there. The board was vacant, frozen. I remembered that all work had been cancelled for today. Everybody had to go for the operation. So it made sense. She had no reason to be here. There wouldn't be anybody to register. On the street, wind. Sky made of racing cast iron plates. And, just as it happened yesterday, at a certain moment, the whole world was divided up into separate distinct independent pieces, and each of them falling headlong would stop for a second and hang in the air in front of me, even evaporate without a trace. Just as if the precise black letters on this page were to shift suddenly, were to be startled into flying off every which way, and not a single word remained, only nonsense. Artel Nagof Ichwa. That's just the sort of scattered crowd that was on the street. No rows, but forward, back, across, cater-cornered. Then there was no one, and for one second everything froze in headlong motion. Up there on the second floor, in that glass cage hanging out in the air, is a man and a woman kissing, standing up, her body leaning bent over backward. That's forever, for the last time. At a certain corner, I come on a prickly shrub of heads waving about. Up in the air above this, all by itself, is a banner with the words, "Down with the machines, down with the operation." And something in me, not me, has a momentary thought. Can it be that everyone harbours the kind of pain that can be extracted along with the heart, and that everyone has to do something before? And for one second the world contains nothing except my animal hand with its cast iron weight in a roll of paper. Now a boy turns up, all of him straining forward, a shadow beneath his lower lip. His lower lip is inside out, like the cuff of a rolled up sleeve. His whole face is inside out. He's yelling, running from someone as fast as he can, footsteps behind him. From the boy, my mind jumps to the conclusion. That's right. You must be at the school now. Better get there quick. I ran to the nearest subway entrance. At the entrance, someone running past yelled, "They aren't running. The trains aren't running today. They're..." I went down, absolute delirium below, the glitter of faceted crystal suns, platform rammed full of heads, an empty stationary train. And in this silence, a voice, hers, I can't see her, but I know it. I know this resilient, pliant voice, like a slashing whip. There, somewhere, is the sharp triangle of brows drawn back to the temples. I shouted, let me through, let me through. I've got to. But my arms and shoulders were clamped in someone's grip, and in the silence I heard a voice, no run upstairs, you'll be cured there. They'll stuff you tight with good rich happiness, and when you're full, you'll dream peaceful organized dreams, snoring in time with everyone. Can't you hear that great symphony of snores? You silly people. They want to rid you of these question marks that squirm like worms and gnaw at you like worms. And here you stand and listen to me. Get upstairs quick to the great operation. What difference is it to you if I stay on here alone? What difference is it to you if I don't want others to do the wanting for me? If I want to want for myself, if I want the impossible. Another voice, slow and heavy. Aha, the impossible. That means running after your imbecilic fantasies so they can wag their tails in front of your nose. No, we're going to grab that tail and stamp on it, and then stuff it in your face and snore away, and there'll have to be a new tail to put in front of your nose. They say the ancients had an animal called the donkey. In order to make him keep on going forward, they tied a carrot to the shaft in front of his face so that it was just out of his reach. But if he did reach it, he ate it. Suddenly the clamp let me go and I pitched forward into the middle where she was speaking. And just at that moment, everyone shoved forward. There was a crush, and from behind someone shouted, they're coming, they're headed this way. The light surged and went out. Someone had cut the wire, and there was an avalanche, screams, howling, heads, fingers. How long we were rolling along like this in the underground tube, I do not know. Finally, we came to some steps, a dim twilight. It got lighter, and we fanned out on the street again, everyone going in different directions. And here I am alone, wind, and just above my head, a low grey twilight. Very deep in the wet glass of the sidewalk are reflections of lights, walls, and people walking with their legs in the air. And the incredibly heavy paper roll in my hand is pulling me downward toward the bottom. Again, Yu was not at the desk downstairs, and her room was dark and empty. I went up to my place and turned on the light. Compressed inside the tight hoop, my temples were pounding, and I was still walking locked in the same circle. Table. On the table, the white rolled paper. Bed door. Table. White roll. The blinds were down in this room to the left. In the one to the right, bent over a book, was the bumpy bald spot and the forehead like a huge yellow parabola. The wrinkles on the forehead make a row of yellow, illegible lines. At times, when our eyes meet, I have the feeling that these yellow lines are about me. It happened precisely at 2100 hours. You herself walked in. I remember with clarity only one thing. I was breathing so loud that I could hear it and keep trying to turn it down, but I couldn't. She sat down and smoothed out her yoni on her knees. The pinkish brown gills trembled. Oh, my dear, so it's true. You were hurt as soon as I heard about it just now. The rod was in front of me on the table. I jumped up, breathing even louder. She heard this, stopped in the middle of what she was saying, and also, for some reason, stood up. I could already see the spot on her head. It was disgustingly sweet in my mouth. I reached for my handkerchief, had no handkerchief, and spat on the floor. He was there beyond the wall on the right with his yellow intense wrinkles about me. He mustn't have seen it. It would be even more repulsive if he was watching. I pressed the button. So what if I had no right? What difference could it make now? And the blinds went down. She evidently sensed something, understood, and threw herself toward the door. But I beat her to it, still breathing loudly, and never for a moment took my eyes off the spot on her head. You've gone crazy. Don't you dare. She backed away and sat, or rather fell down on the bed and put her clasped hands trembling between her knees. I was pure compression, still holding her tethered with my eyes. I slowly stretched my hand out to the table, only one arm moved, and closed it on the rod. I'm begging you, a day, just one day. Tomorrow, I promise you, tomorrow, I'll go and do everything. What was she talking about? I swung the rod, and I consider that I killed her. That's right, my unknown readers, you have every right to call me a murderer. I know I would have brought the rod down on her head if she hadn't shouted. In the name of, don't, I agree, give me a second. And with shaking hands, she tore off her yoni, and her large, yellow, flabby body fell over backward on the bed, and only then did I understand. She thought the blinds that I'd let them down to, that I wanted to. This was such a shock, so stupid, that I suddenly howled with laughter, and the tight spring that I'd become suddenly burst. My arm lost all its strength. The rod clattered on the floor, and that was when I heard from my own experience that a laugh can be a terrifying weapon. With a laugh, you can kill even murder itself. I sat at the table and laughed, a desperate, ultimate laugh. I couldn't see any way out of this whole idiotic situation. I don't know how it would have ended if it had taken its natural course, but at this point, a new external ingredient suddenly popped up. The phone rang. I dashed to the phone and lifted the receiver. Maybe it was her. Someone's unfamiliar voice said, "One moment, please." A merciless, eternal hum. From somewhere far off, I could hear heavy footsteps coming nearer, more resonant, more cast iron. And then, D-503. "Ah, you're speaking to the benefactor. Report to me immediately." Dink. He hung up. Dink. You was still lying on the bed, her eyes closed, her gills spread wide in a smile. I swept her clothes up off the floor, flung them to her and said through my teeth, "Come on, hurry up." She lifted herself on her elbows. Her breasts flopped to the sides. Her eyes were round and the rest of her waxy. "What? Never mind what. Come on, get dressed." Clutching her clothes, she went through contortions and said in a crushed voice, "Turn away." I turned away and leaned against the glass with my forehead. Lights, figures, sparks trembled on the black, wet mirror. No, it's not the mirror trembling, it's me. Why'd he call me? Could he already know about her, about me, about everything? You is at the door, already dressed. In two steps, I'm by her side, squeezing her hand as if I could squeeze out of it, drop by drop, what I needed. Listen to me. Her name. You know who? Did you give them her name? No? Tell me the truth. I've got to know. It doesn't matter. Just tell me the truth. No. No? Then how come? Once you're already gone, there to... Once you're already gone, there to report. Her lower lip suddenly turns inside out like that boy's, and down her cheeks ran drops. Because I was afraid that if I gave them her, that you'd stop love. Oh, I can't. I couldn't have. I understood. This was the truth, the stupid, ridiculous human truth. I open the door. Record 36. Blank pages. The Christian God. About my mother. Here's something strange. My head's like a blank white page. How I went there. How I waited. I know I waited. None of that I do remember. Not a sound, not a face, not a gesture. As if all the lines between me and the world had been cut. When I came to myself, I was already standing in front of him, and I was too terrified to raise my eyes. All I could see were his huge cast iron hands resting on his knees. These hands were heavy even on him. His knees gave under them. He moved his fingers slowly. His face was up there somewhere in the mist. And the only reason why his voice didn't roar like thunder, didn't deafen me, and sounded like an ordinary human voice was that it reached me from such a height. So, you too, you, the builder of the integral, you to whom it was given to become greatest among the conquistadors, you whose name was to have begun a new brilliant chapter in the history of one state, you. The blood rushed into my head, my cheeks, and again the page is blank except for a beating pulse in my temples and, above, that echoing voice. But not a word remains. Only when he'd stopped talking did I come to. I saw the hand move as though it weighed 1,000 pounds, slowly creep up and point a finger at me. Well, why are you silent? Is it so, or isn't it? Is executioner the word? It is, I answered meekly, and from that point I clearly heard his every word. What? You think I fear this word? But have you ever made the experiment of removing its outer shell to examine what is inside? I shall now show you. Remember the scene, a blue hill, a cross, a crowd. Some are up on top, bespattered with blood, nailing the body to the cross. Others are below, bespattered with tears, looking on. Does it not strike you that those above are playing the most difficult, the most important role of all? If it weren't for them, would this magnificent tragedy ever have been mounted? They were hissed by the vulgar crowd, but this very fact should earn them more munificent rewards from God, the author of the tragedy. And this same Christian, all-merciful God, the one who slowly roasts in the fires of hell all those who rebel against him, is he not to be called executioner? And those whom the Christians burned at the stake, are they fewer in number than the Christians who were burned? But all of this notwithstanding, you see, this is still the God who has been worshipped for centuries as the God of love. Absurd. No, on the contrary, it is the patent signed in blood of man's indelible good sense. Even then, in his savage, shaggy state, he understood a true algebraic love of mankind will inevitably be inhuman, and the inevitable sign of the truth is its cruelty, just as the inevitable sign of fire is that it burns. Can you show me a fire that does not burn? Well, prove it. Put up an argument. How could I argue? How could I dispute what were formerly my own thoughts? Not that I would ever have been able to clothe them in such forged, gleaming armour. I didn't say anything. If this means you agree with me, then let's talk like grown-ups after the children have gone to bed, holding nothing back. I ask this question. What is it that people beg for, dream about, torment themselves for, from the time they leave swaddling clothes? They want someone to tell them once and for all what happiness is, and then to bind them to that happiness with a chain. What is it we're doing right now, if not that? The ancient dream of paradise, remember? In paradise, they have lost all knowledge of desires, pity, love. They are the blessed with their imaginations surgically removed. The only reason why they are blessed. Angels, the slaves of God. A And now, at the very moment when we've achieved this dream, when we have seized it like this, he squeezed his hand shut so tight that if a rock had been in it, juice would have shot out. When all that remained was to dress the kill and divide it into portions, at this very moment, you. The cast iron rumble suddenly broke off. I was red as a lump of pig iron on the anvil under a striking hammer. The hammer drew back in silence. The weight is more agonized. Suddenly, how old are you? 32. And as naive as a 16-year-old, half your age. Listen, did it really never once cross your mind that they, we don't know their names yet, but were certain to get them out of you, that they need you only as the builder of the integral, only so that through you, don't, I shouted, like hiding behind your hands and shouting, don't, to a bullet. You could still hear your don't after the bullet's gone through and you're twitching on the floor. Yes, builder of the integral. Yes. And immediately I had a picture of the infuriated face of you with its trembling brick red gills that morning when both of them were together in my room. I remember it very clearly. I burst out laughing and lifted my eyes. In front of me sat a bald man who resembled Socrates and whose bald pate was covered over with tiny drops of sweat. How simple it all was, how magnificently banal and ludicrously simple it all was. Laughter was choking me, tearing itself out of me in clumps. I clamped my hands over my mouth and rushed out in headlong confusion. Steps wind, wet, leaping fragments of lights, faces, and on the run, I think. No, to see her just once more. Another blank white page comes right here. All I remember is feet, not people, but just feet, hundreds of feet, a heavy rain of feet falling out of somewhere onto the sidewalk, stamping every which way, and some sort of song. Playful, not very nice, and a shout, hey you, come on over here. After this comes a deserted square filled to the top with a tense wind. In the middle of it, a dim, ponderous, ominous mass, the machine of the benefactor. And from it, there is a sort of surprising echo in me, a blinding white pillow. On the pillow is a reclining head with half-closed eyes, a sharp, sweet band of teeth, and this is all somehow idiotically horribly connected with the machine. I know how it is connected, but I still don't want to see it, to say it loud. I don't want to. I mustn't. I closed my eyes and sat down on the steps leading up to the machine. It must have been raining. My face was wet. Somewhere far off I hear muffled shouting, but no one hears me. No one hears me shouting, save me from this. Help. If only I had a mother the way the ancients had. I mean, my own mother. And if for her I could be not the builder of the integral and not number D-503 and not a molecule of one state, but just a piece of humanity, a piece of her own self, trampled, crushed, outcast. And suppose I do the nailing or they nail me. Maybe that's all the same. But she would hear me. She would hear what no one else hears. And her old lips, her old wrinkled lips.